The second scripture reading this morning comes from Hebrews chapter 10. I'll be reading verses 11 through 14 and also 23 through 25. And again, it's found on the back of your bulletin if you'd like to follow along. Day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. And since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool. For by one sacrifice, he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. This is the word of God for the people of God.
So today we begin a three-week series on stewardship, and I hope that as we walk through this series together, we will understand a little bit more about who God is. God is a giving God. It's not just what we give to God, it's God's giving to us, and we as disciples can learn a lot from God's giving. Our God is a giving God, and these scriptures attest particularly to the ultimate that God gave of himself for our sakes, not because we earned it, not because we deserve it, but in fact, we were his enemies, and he died for us while we were yet sinners. God made us his footstool. He brought us to his feet. God has full sovereignty over our lives. And yes, our God is a giving God. This all-powerful God demonstrates vulnerability in a powerful way. I don't know if you've ever thought about that before, the vulnerability of God. We think of God as being all-powerful and omniscient. And some of the way he is in God's vulnerability, because God gives love freely, does not force his love. We are not puppets acting out on some stage. God gives his love, and we are free to receive or reject it. It takes our whole life long to try to understand the kind of steadfast love that God has for us. It's a love that lets go of itself in order to make us whole. Now, stewardship is the art of taking care of all that God has given us. We need to be good stewards of our faith. We need to be good stewards of our time. We need to be good stewards of our ministries and good stewards of our money. Because of the style, and you can refer back to the scripture on the back of your bulletin, but because of the style of the writing in this letter to the Hebrews, it's thought that this was probably a very important text to the Jewish Christians. Possibly those Jewish Christians who were being persecuted and considering abandoning their faith. References in this letter likens this Hebrew church to the Israelites in the wilderness. They're reminded of a new covenant that would be written on their hearts. The old system of sacrifice was no longer effective because of Jesus. These are all scriptural images that would have reminded the church of the Old Testament and the ground from which their faith was based on. Lots of this Old Testament scripture that was so highly valued by Jewish Christians. But now listen up, my friends, to verse 14. It says, "For one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy." For one sacrifice, God has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. You see, the author here is really clear that holiness isn't living under the law any longer. You can't gain holiness by following all the rules, but by living in the power of the Spirit, by living through this new covenant of grace which Christ brought for us all. The scripture makes reference to a life washed with pure water in verse 22. This is the reference to baptism. Our baptism is the water of God's grace that washes us clean of our sin, that offers us new life and sustains us through that water. And we are given hope, Christian hope. Christian hope is not rooted in human effort. Christian hope comes because of the faithfulness of God, simply. It's not about our faithfulness. We don't hope because we can manage and make things okay in the event that the storm hits our home. We hope because God is faithful, and we know that God will give us what we need in all of our circumstances. So the writer of this passage is actually addressing a very familiar problem that we have in the church today. You see, many were leaving the church. Many were abandoning the church because persecution was at its worst. The church was in decline, and the Hebrew congregation was tired of living in a culture where there was no support for Christian life. They were trying to live faithfully under God's sovereignty, which made them openly vulnerable. Sounds kind of familiar to us today, doesn't it? Doesn't this sound familiar? A culture that will not support Christian living. We are vulnerable in the culture that we live in. We are open to criticism and disdain. We are not persecuted in the same sense that we are martyred as the ancients were. But believe me, we are being persecuted by a culture which has little trust for any institution and less interest in practicing religion than ever before in our history. This is descriptive of what we call postmodern thought, and it just leaves the church with no support from the culture today. In our day and time, we hate being vulnerable, don't we? Most of us would not consider leaving our home for the day without knowing where we would be sleeping that night, right? When we leave the house for the day, we know if we're coming back home or we know if we're going to a hotel, right? We know where we're sleeping that night. We become so self-sufficient in our ways that we forget that it's God that is providing for us. We are addicted to our routines. We count on things being the same way each day, and we don't like pain, and we don't like the unknown. We don't like to be uncomfortable. This lack of willingness to be vulnerable carries over to our spiritual lives. This happens in our souls. We don't like being empty in our souls. We don't like not knowing what's going to happen in our future. We don't like not having all the things that create comfort in our hearts, in our understandings of God. It's very, very difficult to be vulnerable before God. I want to say again that please be very careful this week. Please be sure that you have water. Stay warm and dry wherever you can in the next few days. It is good to be prepared. I'm not saying that it's not good to be prepared. But the effect of all the warnings for this hurricane, the effect that it's having on us, is panic. We're holding on like this. We're panicked because we're so afraid of what's going to happen. And we forget that God is sovereign. We forget to trust God to provide and protect us, to see us through all of the storms of our lives. We forget to look at God first, and instead we see our own personal plans for salvation. We are so self sufficient that we forget all about God. So my kids sometimes turn on cable television, and on cable TV there's a television show called Hoarders. Have you ever seen it? Hoarders? Yeah, some of you seen it? It showcases people who have become so extreme in their self-sufficiency and so addicted to their surroundings and their things and their possessions, so many possessions, that they build walls around themselves that no one can touch. Their families don't have space to sit down in their homes. Sometimes there is garbage all over the kitchen, refrigerators packed with year-old food. Sometimes there are rooms that are full with brand-new purchased items, tags still in place that have never been used, that don't allow room for people to even sit down. These hoarders need help from other people to overcome their desire for stuff. They don't understand that their addiction impacts others around them. I think hoarding is a really sad outward commentary on our unwillingness to be vulnerable, our inability to allow things to be empty. We have to fill every spot with something because we are so lonely. We do this in our schedules. How many people have schedules that are so booked, there's no white space? I have a friend last night. She told me she would be really happy if this storm came and knocked out power because she'd like to have white space in her calendar. Well, whether you hoard things or not, you can probably relate to the issue of not being comfortable with vulnerability or emptiness. So, my friends, there is no better place to become acquainted with our need, with our discomfort over being empty and vulnerable, than in prayer. Prayer is the way that disciples of Jesus Christ proclaim God's sovereignty. Prayer is the way that we proclaim God's sovereignty in our lives. Every disciple's path finds its way through prayer. Our prayer life is the blood flow that flows in the body of Christ. I believe there is nothing more important than prayer in the body of Christ. There is nothing more important than prayer in this church. Prayer is the opening that we make for God in our lives. Practicing prayer is how we make ourselves vulnerable to God. We cannot pray without some kind of openness to God. Prayer is the open door. Prayer is hospitality to God, to Jesus Christ, and to the power of the Spirit. Prayer is our admission to God's sovereignty. Our spirit opens to God through prayer. Our souls open up through our prayer life. We become vulnerable to God through prayer. We become vulnerable to Christ. We make space within ourselves for God to live and dwell through prayer. And if we don't pray, there's no room for God. We fill our lives. We fill our schedule. We fill everything. We fill our souls with stuff. We need to open ourselves before God. Sometimes we even, once we get to the place where we're praying and we're opening ourselves before God, we fill up our prayers too. We fill up our prayer lives with all sorts of words and rituals, too much, and we wind up not having enough real time with God. So how many of you out there are fully satisfied with your prayer life? How many of you need some coaching in your prayer life? Maybe a prayer partner? someone that you could grow in accountability with? Someone that you might practice prayer with? How many of you would consider taking one full day a year, one day a year, just for prayer? Please come and see me if you are interested in growing in prayer. I will offer that during the season of Advent this year, we will have quiet prayer on Wednesday afternoons at 12:30. And if you would like an evening session, I'll be happy to hold that. Come and see me if that is something that you would like to grow in this year. Here are two things that I want you to know about prayer. Prayer at its simplest and at its best acknowledges who God is. Prayer acknowledges God's sovereignty over all. Prayer makes an opening to receive God's abundant gift of life. Breathe with me a minute. Take a deep breath in and breathe out. Take just a minute to listen to your own breathing. I want you to think about prayer this way. Your body can't not inhale, right? Your body naturally pulls that air in. Your body inhales all on its own because this is what God created us to do. And each breath that we take gives us life. We have to open our mouths, our nostrils, our airways, our lungs. We have to open up to take in air. It's the epitome of vulnerability, taking it in and opening up, creating space for new life. As we inhale, we become open and we receive. We can only exhale for so long before we need to inhale again, right? There's a natural rhythm that our breath sets up. We need to take in God in order to carry God out. Do you hear me? We need to take God in openness to prayer, in order to carry God out. We do this through prayer. We acknowledge who God is by opening up our lives to receive God. And it's hard. We resist it. We have lots of reasons to resist it. I want you tomorrow morning to get up. The first thing I want you to do is to take 5 minutes in silence and see how well you do. It is a really hard thing to make yourself that vulnerable to God, even just for 5 minutes, just to sit in silence. And allow yourself to open up to God, to listen, to hear what God has for you in that. Okay, the second thing that I want to say about prayer, we get to know God through prayer, but prayer also helps us acknowledge who we are as human sinners, bruised and hurt, wanting relief and looking for it, oftentimes in the wrong places. We all need recovery. And the prayer that's best, simple prayer that's been used throughout history, through the ancient church, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner. Use those words to acknowledge who you are before God in prayer. Learn what that means for you. Praying fills us up because we come to know God, we come to know ourselves, and we become new creation. Okay, now here it is. Here's the thing. As we open ourselves up in prayer, as we open up to the giving God, we empty ourselves of the things we don't need. And we open ourselves up to abundant life. We open up ourselves to the life-giving things that God has for us. In the church, in these postmodern days when everyone wants to do their own thing, the church becomes very countercultural in spurring one another on to do good deeds. As the scripture in Hebrews says, we receive receive this God because it helps us to give to one another. It provokes us to good deeds. So rather than hoarding our goods, whether they be material things, whether they be social, whether they be spiritual, rather than hoarding, we can begin to share. You see, stewardship is a step-by-step process. One of the easiest ways to give is to glean. And you've probably heard about gleaning projects. It's a model that was used for sharing food from fields that were already harvested. And you could go in and glean the fields and collect what hadn't been used. This was what Ruth was doing in Boaz's fields at the time that she met Boaz. So gleaning is that opportunity to share what we already have and what we're not using. Well, let's take this beyond giving away material goods. Okay? Let's talk about gleaning without talking about giving away material goods. If I was a really good cook, now that's a really big if, but if I was a really good cook, I could glean my knowledge of cooking to share it with another, right? I could have someone come in and they could glean that knowledge from me. Well, the same is for matters of faith. If I can study Scripture really well, then others can come in and glean learning how to study Scripture really well. I can use my ability to study to provoke another to good study. Gleaning doesn't hurt. It doesn't cost anything. Gleaning is giving away what we already have. At most, we're giving our time and our energy. This is the beginning of stewardship. This is the beginning, sharing what we already have. And as we grow in trust with God and in vulnerability with God and in vulnerability with others, as we grow with the comfort of being empty, we grow with the comfort of not having, we let go of ourselves. The Holy Spirit transforms our lives through generosity. We become open vessels. The water which overflows. Jesus said, drink this water that I give, and it will become in you a fountain welling up to eternal life. It is there that we find we are able to give before we even have it. Because God is faithful. Because God is faithful. So as we begin this stewardship campaign this fall, I want you to do three things for me. The first thing is I want you to pray, right? That's a given. Practice becoming empty so that God in Christ can dwell more fully in you. Empty out your junk. Empty out the resentments. Empty out the hostilities. All the self-protective behaviors. Become vulnerable and practice trust in God's sovereignty. Second thing I want you to do, start to glean. Glean the harvest of your faith. If you know something about God that burns like fire in your bones, then share that with someone. Glean the precious benefit of your faith to provoke another to good deeds, to spur one another on, to encourage another. And three, as your heart and your soul opens more fully to God, generosity will just be the natural overflow. And that generosity in all that you are is the prelude to your financial giving to God. We have been given this new and enduring relationship, and we want others to know this God that has so sanctified our lives. May all that we do here at Wesley United Methodist Church spur one another on in faith. May all that we do provoke one another to good deeds. We give because God is faithful. Our God is a giving God. Amen.